Well, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Now, just to give you an overview very fast, very quickly. Of course, chapter 1, we see pure doctrine. Chapter 2, we see prayer and public worship. Chapter number 3, we see proven officers. But when we come to chapter number 4, we see a prophetical warning. Shall they depart? Some shall depart. And I'm telling you what, how can we keep our young people? The statistics right now is this. 1 hour every four is raised up in church, leaves the church, for some, most of the time never to come back. How sad that is.
Yeah.
I mean, that should make us want to weep and cry and get in the altar.
Amen. Hey.
And pray and ask God to help our young people. If your young people's up here, and especially if they're already graduated and they're going to college and they're still coming to the house of God, thank God for them.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for them. You don't realize how wonderful, and you don't realize how blessed you're going to be if you continue to serve God and live for God. If you'll honor God, God will honor you. He'll honor your life. I mean, there's all kinds of stories could be told by parents here about their children, and when they decided to walk away from God, how many bad things has happened to them?
Yeah.
Amen. How many terrible things? And you don't want those things to happen to you? Just keep on walking. I'm not going to say you're not going to get sick. I'm not going to say the tragedy is not going to come. But I'm telling you what, God's going to be there with you.
Amen.
And I tell you, it'll be a blessed life. Can you be used of the Lord? 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 11. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth. But be thine example, the believer, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytering. In verse number 15, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and to thy doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, in the next few minutes, God, I pray, Father, you'll take your word and your workmen, and, Father, you'll do your will. God, I pray for you to take your scriptures and your spirit and speak through your servant. God, we need you tonight. God, these young people need you. Thank you for the parents who came. God, we never try to pull people from other churches. But God, thank you for their pastors and their desire to be here, allowing them to be here, and Father, be in this service tonight. God, I pray you'll help us now. In this next few minutes, speak to our hearts. God, I pray you'll stir some young person, stir some soul today, that they can be used of God. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
As I've always said this to my children, I've always said it to the young people, I believe you can do anything that God puts in your heart to do. I believe you can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you put your mind to it, I mean, we got young people with so much talent, young people with so much ability. If you put your mind to it, you can do anything that God wants you to do. You can do anything.
Hey.
Now, I've seen God take little boys and little girls, and I've seen him use them to help get their parents in the house of the Lord.
Yes,
I've seen him tender their hearts. Tender their hearts, and they come and walk in the house of God and get saved and begin to serve God because their little girl was riding the bus, or their little boy was riding the bus and got saved, and that testimony of that little child finally worked on that mom and dad. You know, the only requirements God has to be used is God wants you to be available.
Yeah.
Now, there's three things I'm going to give very quickly. I'm going to preach that. There's three things I believe to be used of God. He gives us requirements for a person to be used of God. There's three things, and I'll give them to you very quickly, and I'm going to preach them. Those willing to trust in God, those that are willing to be true to their convictions, and those that are willing to humble themselves and submit to God's will, I tell you what, God will use you.
That's right.
Yeah.
God will use you. When I think about the will of God, those willing to trust in God. You know what he's told here in 1 Timothy? I love this preaching the text, and then I'll just give you these three little thoughts. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he said this, let no man despise thee youth, be thine example of the believers in word. You know what word is? That's your conversation.
Yeah.
Amen. That's how you speak. Matter of fact, what that is the wisdom that you show. You realize your words, sometimes, you heard this statement, you know, don't say nothing and let everybody know you're dumb. Amen. You know, just keep your mouth closed and they won't know your ignorance. You heard those some people say things like that? And realize, I know it's said a little bit different than that, but when we talk, the talking shows our wisdom. It really does. It shows our wisdom when we talk. And so in our word, in our word, we should have wisdom. We should be speaking the things of God. You don't have to say, you don't have to be speaking, oh, holy, how thou art God. No, I'm not talking about talking like the King James, oh, how thou art thou. And, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about in your conversation, in your word,
yeah.
It ought to be godly.
Amen.
It'll keep you out of a lot of trouble, young people.
Right.
If you talk about godly things,
right.
You think on godly things, you speak of godly things. And then all on that, he said in word, but he said in conversation. Now, when we think conversation in our damn time, we're thinking about words. But that wasn't in that day. He was talking about conduct.
Amen.
And I'm saying God wants to use you. He wants to use you in your words, in your conversation. That's your wisdom. Then in your conversation, that's your conduct. That's your witness.
Yes,
that was what we would call our testimony.
Amen.
That's your witness. You know, it's amazing. And you say, matter of fact, in your words, a lot of times your conduct will come out.
Yeah.
What you like to talk about with somebody.
Yeah.
So young people, you around people who want to talk about bad things, guess what? They're thinking about doing bad things.
Yeah, sir.
Amen. That's what they're thinking about. Their minds are too much on that. You need to be away from them.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
I know the devil don't want to hear this tonight. Amen. He don't want the young people to hear this. But anyway, he said, let not despise your youth be thy example in the word, in conversation, and then in charity. You know what charity is? That's your passion. That's your compassion. That's the warmth. That's who you are. I hope Andrew don't mind me using her as an illustration, but when we was in Mexico, when we walked into Progreso and we passed up some tracks and done some souvenir shopping, the little kids would come up wanting to sell stuff. And Andrew wanted to buy from the little kids. She didn't care. I'm not buying nothing in the shops. But she wanted to buy from the little kids. You know. And then Deborah... Also, that's where that comes together. You know, and Deborah's giving these little kids money. I said, honey, you ought to quit giving dollars and start giving dimes. And she's giving these little kids money. But, I mean, it breaks. What is it? That's the compassion.
Yeah, sir.
It's the compassion. Yeah. I tell you what, God will use somebody that's compassionate for the souls of men.
Hey.
God will use somebody that's compassionate, that cares for others. It wants to bear and help one another. Then in spirit, that's in our consecration. And in faith, that's in our creed and our work. And in purity, that's our chastity and that's our worth. You know, we see those things there. But three ways that God would, those willing to trust in God. I think about David when I think about this trusting God. David trusting God, like David fighting the giant Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hands of the Philistines. You know who he was giving the credit to?
Yes.
The Lord.
Amen.
See, if you don't watch it tonight, what's going to happen is God's going to call you to do something. You're going to say, I can't do that. And you know what? You're right.
That's right.
Yeah. It's the Lord that's going to do it.
Right.
It's the Lord that's going to have to do it with you. It's the Lord that has to do it in your life. The Lord wants to do it. See, David didn't say this. He didn't say, now, King Saul, because of the skill. Now, you know David knew he was pretty good with a sling.
Yeah. Sure.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know, there's some that's sitting here, I think about Brother Steve and Sister Trish are hunters. And, you know, I can never say they're pretty good with a gun.
Yeah.
I mean, we probably didn't know this. And if somebody's wanting to shoot at me and hunt me, I don't want them doing it. Now, I don't mind. I wouldn't mind. Deborah, it wouldn't matter. She got to load the gun. I'm just kidding. You know what I'm saying? He can accept that. But you know how skillful I am? He didn't say, Saul, I'm skillful. I have so much skill. I practice so much and I'm so good. Hey, God's not interested in your skill. He's not interested in your talent. He's interested in doing a work through you that he can do and only he can do. He didn't say this. He didn't say, it's my ability myself. I believe I can handle this giant because of the ability that God has gave me. No, he didn't say that. He said, it's not in me at all. I'm telling you, I believe this all my heart. There's going to be some, and please don't get this wrong, but there's going to be some big preachers. I know there's great preachers, and they're humble and everything. But there's going to be some big preachers that's sitting way back in the line, and they're going to look at some preacher that preached and pastored in some hall or somewhere.
Right,
preacher. And on a snow day, he went off to the house of God just to let five people come in.
Yeah.
And they had a little Sunday school class, and he preached the gospel. Hey, I'm telling you, it's this thing of big days. I said, God's interested in everybody.
Hey.
There's no big eyes and little ears in God's economy. Amen?
Yeah, that's
And so I think there's going to be a lot of big preachers that think there's something. They'll be sitting way back in the line seeing a lot of other people get rewards before they get any rewards.
Amen.
I said, there's something wrong with the ministry. There's something wrong with the pastor. And I want to teach preachers to our young people. We've got some young preachers in here. Hey, you never get too big for your britches. You don't ask nobody, how many people y'all got to come to church? You got to have a certain amount before I can come and preach.
Yeah.
I don't think a ministry, a preacher can be right with God that has to have a certain amount of people to come and preach. Listen to him preach. I don't think he could be.
Right.
Amen. I really don't.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be crude and mean. And I'm just trying to say tonight, hey, just think about the rewards that people got for just going and preaching to a small crowd.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Do you realize the conversion of Charles Spurgeon? Think about the day that Charles Spurgeon, it was a snowy day. If you leave his life story, he tells about his conversion. It was a snowy day. He was trying to get to the church he was wanting to attend and could not get there. He just turned down a road, turned down a street, and went to a Methodist church. The preacher didn't even show up that day. The preacher didn't even come that day. It was snowy outside. He was snowed in. He couldn't get there. And a lay preacher, I'm talking about what kind of rewards.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how many people Charles Spurgeon has touched and seen get saved? And it's going, hey, can I tell you it's going to be on that guy's account?
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
It's going to be on his account. He walks up to the pulpit and he preached on this. I got the testimony up here. And he said, look, this is what he preached on. Look unto me. And this is what Spurgeon said. I'm just going to read you what Spurgeon said. He said, I sometimes think that I might have been in darkness and despair now, had it not been for the goodness of God in sending a snowstorm one Sunday morn. When I was going to a place of worship, when I could go no further, I turned down a court and came to a little primitive Methodist church. In the chapel there might be a dozen or 15 people. The minister did not come that morning, snowed up. That's the same thing as snowed in. But it snowed up. I suppose a poor man, a shoemaker, a tailor, or something of that sort, went to the pulpit to preach. He was obligated to stick to his text, and listen to this, for the simple reason he had nothing else to say. That'd be good for us. Amen. To stick with a text for simple reason he had nothing else to say. The text was, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. He did not pronounce the words rightly, but that did not matter. There was, I thought, a glimpse of hope for me in the text. He began thus, my dear friends, this is a very simple text indeed. It says, look. Now that does not take a deal of effort. It ain't lifting up your foot or your finger. It's just look. Well, a man need not to go to college to learn to look. You may be the biggest fool, but yet you can look. A man need not to be worth a thousand of years to look. Anyone can look. A child can look. This is what the text says. Then it says, look unto me. Ah, said he in a bolstered way. Many of you are looking to yourselves. No, use looking to that there. You'll never find comfort in yourself. Then the good man followed up his text in this way. Look unto me. He said, I am sweating great drops of blood. Look unto me. I am hanging on the cross. Look, I am dead and buried. Look unto me. I rise again.
Amen. Amen.
Look unto me. I sin. I am sitting at the Father's right hand. Oh, look unto me. Look to me. When he had got about the length and managed to spin out about 10 minutes, he was at the length of his tether. I guess that means at the end of his preaching. I don't know what tether means. T-E-T-H-R. Anyway, then he looked. I'm telling you my ignorance now. Then he looked at me under a glare, and I dare say with so few present, he knew me to be a stranger. He said, young man, you look very miserable. He looks at Spurgeon. He said, young man, you look very miserable. Well, I did. But I had not been accustomed to having somebody remark about my personal appearance from the pulpit before. However, it was a good blow struck. He continued, and this is quotes again, and you will always be miserable. Miserable in life, miserable in death, if you do not obey my text. I'm saying that's preaching, amen. But if you obey now, this moment, you will be saved. Then he shouted, this is what it says, then he shouted only a primitive Methodist can, young man, look to Jesus Christ. And he says, there and then, the cloud was gone, the darkness had rolled away, and that moment I saw the sun. I could have risen that moment and sung with the most enthusiasm theme of the precious blood of Christ. He said, I was saved.
Amen.
I'm talking about one lay preacher walks in the pulpit, has the text, has nothing else to say about it, preaches less than 10 minutes, and Spurgeon gets saved.
Hey.
Can God use you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, God can use you. If you'll just be willing to trust in God, and He'll use you.
Hey.
Those willing to be true to their conviction. I remember a man in the Bible by the name of Daniel.
Yeah.
And Daniel said this. He said he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. I'm telling you, we just need some people to say, stand up for God and purpose not to defile the heart with the things of this world, and God will use you.
Amen.
And you know what God did today for Daniel? He gave him favor in the eyes of man.
Yeah, He did.
Amen. The Bible says that, it says in Daniel 1:9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. I'm telling you, if you'll just trust God, if you'll just stay true to your conviction. Hey, young preachers, hey, moms and dads, you don't have to go out here and go to some kind of other church, some wild non-denominational church, something that don't even know what they believe. Somebody say amen. Stay with the faith. Stay with true doctrine. Matter of fact, that's what Paul is telling Timothy here in this chapter. Stay with the true doctrine. Amen. Matter of fact, he tells him that and what he is to do. He is to stay on the right track. Amen. Sanctify himself. And to salvation. Matter of fact, these things in verse number 11, you know what these things are? And they're verse number 8. They're sanctification. Verse number 10, their salvation. And that's what he's talking about. Hey, just stick with the stuff that God's gave you. It may not bring in the crowds. It may not bring in the law. But I tell you, when it produces something, it produces good fruit.
Amen.
It produces right fruit.
Yeah.
Stay with the right stuff. Amen. And so, then lastly, those willing to humble themselves and submit their will to God. I remember a little lady by the name of Mary. Mary said to the angel, how should this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who were called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Wow. Wow. Could we just say tonight, young people, moms and dads, senior saints, could we just say tonight, just be unto me according to your word. Lord, here am I. This is our theme for this year.
Yeah.
Here am I, Lord. Use me. Send me. Put up your hand and say, use me. Young person, would you be willing to do that? Moms and dad, would you be willing to say, Lord, I want you to help me raise my family. I want you to help me work in my life. That's what this young man's done. It's what this gentleman's done.
Yeah.
Brother Coker, he just gave his life to God.
Yeah.
All these missionaries we come through here, that's what they've done. They have forsaken this world as far as different things, and they have decided to follow Jesus.
Amen.
That's what they've done. I just wonder tonight. I wonder if there'd be others that would be willing to do that.
Amen.
There'd be others that would be willing to do that. They'd be willing to say, here am I, Lord. Send me. Use me, Lord. I want to be used of you. Can God use me? Well, I believe that God can use an old country preacher, a lay preacher, whatever you want to call it, to preach a message, and a person like Spurgeon gets saved. And I believe God could use some of you that you probably know more Bible than that man ever knew. Amen. The only thing different is he knows the God of that Bible. Look unto me. That's all you need to do tonight. If you're not saved, just look unto the Jesus.
Right.
Just tell God you're a sinner and ask God to save you. It'll work every time.
Amen.
It worked for me when I was a 6-year-old boy.
Amen.
I wanted them young people to give their testimonies. Amen. Some of y'all hadn't heard their testimony. I never had heard Alex's testimony. I didn't know she got saved during Jubilee. I'm sure I did know that as time went on. Well, I forgot it. I mean, when they talked to POTUS about it. But it was good to hear her tell it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
About being saved. Then Andrew get up here and say she's glad she's saved.
Yeah.
She got saved at home.
Right.
What a blessing. Well, I'm just telling you, it's just wonderful to hear testimonies about what God can do the same thing for you. God wants to do the same thing for you. It could be somebody here lost tonight, needs to be saved. Why don't you come? We're standing by the mics on sing.
Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for the good missions family we've got with us tonight. We love missions, missionaries. and appreciate this opportunity that you've given us to be involved in worldwide missions. Bless our church. Bless our people. Thank you for souls saved. And we just glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen and amen.